All right, thank you very much. Let's, we've got to do a study, and then we've got communion, and then we've got fellowship time together. So let's begin with the word of prayer and go into some things I want to talk about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for our assembly. How grateful we are for the opportunities that we have for telling others about Christ and about the Word of God. We pray now that this will be glorifying to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's begin with hymn.
Okay, At the Cross is hymn number 157. At the Cross is hymn number 157. Would you stand and join us, please?
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart go away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it the crimes that I had done? He rolled up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
And the cross that for him that Jerry likes for communion. No, it was not that one, though.
Huh? I received my sight, and now I'm happy all day. Well, why the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature. First all right, and the burden of my heart go away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. The drops of grief and every pain, the debt of love I owe.
John, starting at verse 5 through 14. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this love, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world.
All right, would you continue singing with us with hymn number 163, hymn 163, Rock of Ages.
I don't know how we need to get some other people in this church. Now, I just can't go to different, you know, bringing in a teaching or singing and all of that, and jumping up and down, not into that. And I don't know what we can do, but right now we need to be in prayer and do what we need to get done. And if we need to look for a place that's more appealing to people, then all right, we can do take a look. We had a really nice place on Spring Valley, and it didn't do much, and so I don't know what we can do about it in that respect, but we need your prayers in that respect. Okay, now let's talk about some prayer requests and things. Let's be in prayer for Mike and Betsy at this time. Please be in prayer for them. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes.
So prayer request for my mom, Praise. She had her knee replacement surgery on Wednesday. She's doing fantastic. She's in the rehab facility. Well, she'll be for about 3 weeks or so, maybe a little longer, doing PT, physical therapy. And 86 years old, day after surgery, she's up walking around. So,
good.
Please be in prayer. That's a praise that everything went really well. But please be in prayer for her continued physical recovery and mental the morale.
You know, okay.
I mean, she's got a lot of hard work ahead of her, and that's going to be the hard part, is staying motivated to continue to PT when it hurts.
Very good.
It hurts.
And let's talk about you.
Yeah, praise on that. Thank you for all the prayers. I saw the doctor on, what day was that? Tuesday? Wednesday. Anyway, the doc said it looked like, from his perspective, that I had just I got sick somewhere, and it crashed all my blood counts and all that sort of stuff, to the point where, I mean, he could see it across the board, and he said, you know, iron specifically, started taking that, some supplements. He said, your body needs to recover. Let's make sure we're working on your immune system and the iron and all that. And let's take a look at the blood panel in 10 days. So on the 15th, I have another set of panels.
So it is increasing.
We don't know because I haven't taken the panels yet. But I can tell significant improvement in my energy.
Okay.
And the cough is subsiding a little bit. So we're still working on that. But significantly, I feel significantly better.
We'll continue to be in prayer.
3 weeks ago. Yeah, so thank you for that.
Very good. And we'll pray for you.
I'm feeling better.
Good. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
An update. My friend Noelle, who had the surgery, is home from the hospital, and now just pray for her recovery because it's
okay.
Yeah, she's having a hard time building up her endurance. You know, when they remove upper lobe of your lung, you know, you gotta get used to that.
What should be our prayer?
That she gain strength and endurance and able to go without oxygen. Because right now she can only walk a little distance and then she has to rest.
Cause okay.
She can breathe very well. So learning how to do that, yeah.
All right. I got some prayer requests here. I'm going to let you tell them.
Okay. For those of you who know Phyllis Music, she has been a very good resource for keeping up with the internet news. So a month ago, she has informed me that China was going to shut down or restrict the internet access, especially for religious reasoning. And she asked that she wasn't sure if it's going to impact our internet listener. So I did start tracking on it, and sure enough, this is some just that. No, we don't actually track people like by number of time they come in anymore. We track it by the number of visitors per month because the number is just too much. But for China, they used to be number 3 on the chart every year. Up until now, they're down to number 4 and 5 now, from last month to this month. And in 2021, we had 762 visitors from China. For year to date, meaning January, up to today, March 6th, we have 117. And out of that, from March 1st to March 6th, only 4. So please pray for our internet.
Please be in prayer.
Yeah, you don't know them, but they are just as warrior of God as we are, and probably even harder because it's really impacting them. The people in China usually come in and download our PDF. So we do know they study English. They listen to our lesson. They also take the paper version of it. And they're visibly down, you know, the number of downloads. So please pray for them.
Okay. Very good. Now, one more thing. Martha, you're not on your stick that you can hit at people with. So, yeah.
Thank God on my part.
So I'm saying it's getting better?
It's doing all right. It's going to be a long time. I have a brace. So.
Okay.
But thank you.
Or we'll continue to be in prayer. Yes?
Just a couple prayer requests. One, our nephew Clay, who you all prayed for many years, and one of our Liberty College students,
right.
Got engaged.
Oh.
So. Just also a reminder for him and his fiance, his name is Ashley, and they're at Hillsdale together in Michigan. But just a reminder that all these youth that have grown up with us are getting older and getting married, and they're going to become these young parents, and just to stay in prayer for them. They're that next generation of our family that are such in the battle. So that's one. Two, I know Larry Wise reached out to us that one of the youth that have come with us for many years to camp had a close friend take her life, I think 3 days ago. So just be up for these kids. We see it constantly.
What can be the prayer in regard to that?
Well, specifically pray for Larry and Brian to just how God will use them to be an encouragement to that family. I mean, those are close friends of theirs. And just for the girl who's been our camper, who's going through this struggle and that is close to, and all those teenagers that are being impacted, that they... God would use this opportunity to show the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light the true hope that they have in the midst of all the crazy, and we see it daily with just kids on our street, friends of ours. I don't know if y'all are seeing it, but with the teenagers, it is especially the Christian teenagers. There is so much depression, and just you're seeing that world, God's struggle just living out in their everyday life. So just ask you guys to be in prayer about that.
Okay.
And then the last thing is just, we want to let you guys know, Pat and Phil, we're not feeling well this morning, but wanted to let y'all know about the flower fundraiser that's coming up and has already opened.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry's got that all put together with the form, and Leslie sent out on an email to the church. And so you guys can order flowers till March 25th. That goes toward our youth fundraiser. And if you want a in-person form and you don't want to do it online, Pat said she will bring the forms next week so you guys can put them out. Terry, was there anything else on that?
No, I don't think so. Well, and then the flowers will be delivered the 16th of April.
April 16th.
Now, this doesn't involve anything about COVID.
No.
Then, okay. Very good.
Oh, you talking about Pat and Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Talking about Pat and Phil?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how the flowers would happen. No, I think it's
Pat and Phil. Yes.
I was just going to mention, I don't know if anyone saw the prayer list, but Lily Reyes has cancer in her bone, lungs, and liver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all I know right now. But
so what should the prayer be?
I guess for God's will. It's pretty far spread, but
okay.
Reached out to me, you know, wondering what to do, and told her she can contact a couple of naturopathic doctors that my kid she consults with and see. But
yeah, the same thing is true about the prayer request for Mike. Just pray for God's will. And that he's taken home and without pain. So.
Silverman, and I saw this morning that Robbie Dean made it home.
Do what?
Robbie Dean made it home.
He made it home. Talked to him. I guess he would be out in town that night before. Talked to him. He was tired, but he was so happy to be home. So the conference will start tomorrow. And there'll be no class Wednesday night, but I'll be in Houston for their pastor's conference. And he's, you know, pretty much prepared for that before he went. And so that's what's going on with him. But thank you for asking. He's doing good. All right, anything else? Yes.
Leslie,
mm-hmm.
What about your mom's procedure on the 16th? Were you going
to... Oh, yeah. She's going to go in for a minor procedure on the 16th. It's only a 45-minute procedure. So, but yeah, just, you know, pray that all goes well with that.
Okay. I'll be in prayer. My goodness. People, we've got the prayer requests we need to be in prayer for. We've got these requests we've been talking about. And we just got the activities of this assembly, so we've got to take the offering and be a part of God's plan. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to be a part of your plan. We consider it a privilege that the Holy Spirit activates us and uses us to the honor and glory of Christ. And Father, we pray now that we receive the offerings that we're about to give. You can use these offerings to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay, once again, would you join us in hymn number 198, in the book, hymn number 198, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful days, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
All right, good. Okay. Everyone have a copy of By Grace, You Have Been Saved. By Grace, You Have Been Saved. I want to say again, I'm just so thankful that Kit does this for us. And I don't know if he knew he'd be so involved when he asked to do it. But when James went home with the Lord. But I'm very thankful that he did. And so let's get to work on By Grace, You Have Been Saved. So let's begin with the word of prayer. How gracious we are for the word of God. How gracious we are for the work of the Holy Spirit, teaching us where we can understand and learn and be enriched with the understanding of the word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to things tonight, to this morning. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's where we all started. Verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Let's see. I think they're up there. No.
We're doing that table.
We're doing Judges chapter 12.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Where are we at?
Where'd you find it?
By grace.
She's saved.
I'm not running off.
Where's copies?
Okay, you can have one of ours.
You can have one of ours.
Thank you.
Somebody grab Mark, he's lost.
Come on back. You're disrupting.
No, but I have to have
the All right. Now, verse 2 deals with Satan. So the first dealt with the dead in trespasses and sins. Secondly, in Satan. And now the third, verse 3, among them we too are formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the dead, and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. So that's our sin nature. And therefore we move to verse 4. But, I love that, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, the first thing I need to take a look at is he loved us. That is not past tense in the Greek. It's he loved us, but with which he loves us. Loves us right now. He still loves us. God will always love us. Nothing can change the love of God for us. Nothing can change the love of God. God found a way to love us without compromising his righteousness, his justice, and any of the other attributes of God. Since God is perfect, his love is perfect. Now, but the God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which with he loved us. This refers to every believer, regardless of your spiritual status. You see what that word great, that's very important. That refers to the magnitude of his love. God loves us whether we love him or not.
I know you said believer, but that's believer and unbeliever, correct?
Yes. Yes. 1 John 4:18. But all right, why did I do that? Because the whole book of Ephesians is to believers. There's just hardly any talk of the unbeliever anywhere in the book.
Could you repeat the question? I couldn't catch her question. Could you repeat the question?
All right, she asked about, was it not also for the unbeliever, the love? Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, we love because he first loved us. In the sovereignty of God, he has made a decision to love us. And since he is also immutable, he will also always love us. His love will never change whether we're faithless or faithful. Whatever we do, fail or success, he still loves us. Whatever we may do or fail to do, God will keep on loving us. He will never change his love for you. That to me is just powerful. He will never change his love for you. He has already decided to keep on loving us. He found a way to love us. God is absolute righteousness. While we are unstable, failures, depending on our response to the Word, or failed to the Word of God, God loves us with a perfect love because he is perfect. By the way, let's just throw a few lines thinking in. Let's talk about you and those who love you. If anyone loves you, and I have to say if, as anyone loves you, if anyone loves you, it is a compromise of their righteousness and their justice. It is the company, it is the compromise of every characteristic which we possess that is noble. But he continues to love us and does not change. But the God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. This is how we were before we were found by grace from God. This is how we were under transgressions. We were not worth loving. We were spiritually dead. We were under the control of Satan. We were under the control of our sin nature. This was our understanding of total depravity. And when you think about the doctrine of total depravity, there it is. Those three things. You're spiritually dead, control of Satan, and under the control of your sin nature. Even when we were all dead in our transgressions, we told us how we were, so that we will never forget how we were and how God changed us. How God changed us or made us alive together. That is, with all people since the time of Adam. Old Testament, New Testament. Together with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together in association with Christ. Now, at this point, we need to look at a doctrine of propitiation, because this is the way that He accomplished, the way that He accomplished our being made alive in association with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. This is the way that God is able to take His perfect love and direct it toward us. So here is the doctrine of propitiation. One, I've done this so many times, and so this is just a different way than what I've done it. So let's see if this will communicate for you. Let's start with understanding propitiation. Let's just understand it. It is the act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of mankind from God. So that you can grasp propitiation, look at some simple words for propitiation. Appease, mollify, pacify. Well, they mean to ease the anger or disturbance of God. That's what He had toward us in transgression. Now what I'm going to do here is just talk with you. One way of understanding propitiation is the difference between propitiation and atonement.
Hey, Herb, yes? Can you cite one passage in the Bible that demonstrably says or tracks God's anger? Where God says, boy, I'm mad now.
All right, I'll get it for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I've never heard you say
that. All right. Propitiation is the divine side of the work of Christ on the cross. Atonement is the covering over sin. Propitiation, God recognizes what Christ accomplished in behalf of the world. Atonement is the reconciliation between God and man accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, I was thinking about this and what you had asked, Mark. We're all destined for eternal damnation. Everyone is. Are destined for eternal damnation. And therefore, salvation saves you from that. But if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will receive His condemnation.
Okay.
Okay. Propitiation. Rendered God as sanctified, satisfied toward the unsaved. Propitiation rendered God as satisfied toward the unsaved. Atonement is the special result of Christ's sacrificial suffering and spiritual death, by virtue of which all receive forgiveness of sins. Unbelievers, believers, receive forgiveness of sins. Propitiation, the fact that God is now satisfied by the work of Christ on the cross. Atonement, ransom, and our redemption means atonement has occurred, the act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of mankind toward God. Yes.
So that's the second time you talk about regaining.
About what?
About regaining. Is that, was regained after the first time, or do we have to do that over and over again?
Just once, when you did that on the cross.
So the original goodwill...
I'm sorry?
The original goodwill we're talking about, if to regain means you had to have had it first place.
Yes.
That's Adam and Eve in the garden and that, the fall.
That's why I said it's either there or reborn.
And it's been regained.
You regained. Gained Adam and Eve, regained Adam and Eve at fall. And all
we don't have to go through that
side. Okay.
We're not in that loop.
We don't. We can't.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, to follow on Chris's question there, then, at the point that Adam and Eve took the fruit, was that a point that God was became angry at mankind? Or had he already seen the situation as it was going to unfold?
No. That's when the condemnation was given. That's when he became condemning of all.
Condemnation and anger.
I'm sorry?
Condemnation and anger, are you saying, is the same?
Let me think about it.
Okay, because I'm just wondering, can God have an emotion?
Oh, yes.
Definitely about his wrath also.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is that him having anger, or was that, you know, oh, I told you not to do that, and here it comes?
If not anger, at least he decided... That if you're unrighteous, condemnation.
You're condemned.
Yes.
I think the anger of God is, or the wrath of God is hell.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
So you are condemned to hell, his anger, if you will.
I imagine he wasn't happy when we crucified
him. But
Christ.
He knew all that.
No.
He knew what was going to happen.
Sure
that he knew he was going to take the blood, the apple, and all the other stuff, or whatever the fruit was. Mm-hmm. He knew it. He was there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Herman. If my understanding of you taught that God has an open book, everybody's book names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you make that decision whether or not you're going to accept your Savior. So to me, these are that's his, if you want to say, here you go, take it or leave it type situation, or his bluntness to say, here you go.
Yes.
And that's his anger or his whatever.
Okay. Two.
Herman?
Yes. Oh, I love this.
Kind of follow on to that question. So, if God is capable of love, is He capable of not love as well?
No.
Let me put it this way: He doesn't stop loving, but, like for example, people in the lake of fire for all eternity will be loved by God.
Okay.
He'll be loved. He'll be loved.
Well, that reminds. Me of your story when you were little that you got whooped by your mom and then, you know, she would give you ice cream at the end of the day.
Yeah. But, he's going to keep loving. But there it comes down to the great issue of being benefited by his love or not benefited by his love.
In Isaiah 54 verse 10, I think kind of sums it all up. It says, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may be shaken, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you.
Yeah. Very good. Okay.
The wrath was toward Martha, you're talking about on the cross. Yeah. God poured his wrath on Christ, but Christ had become sin. So the wrath was toward the sin, the righteousness.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
Point two. The Greek word for propitiation actually means the mercy seat. That's the way the Greek reads. What is propitiation? The mercy seat. Referring to the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant. It can also be correctly translated place of propitiation or means of expiation. So it can mean these different things. The basic meaning is the act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of mankind from God. And had it, lost it, and Adam and Eve's fall, and all members of the human race, and then can regain it by faith. Yes?
You mentioned mankind. Could an angel fall and then come back?
Do what?
You mentioned mankind. Could an angel that has fallen come back to the
yeah.
side?
Angels don't come back.
No.
Not angels.
No. The fallen angels are
no. Fallen angels are locked in.
Oh, no. They're... All right. On Wednesday, we'll be getting into that whole thing of angels.
Okay.
Yep, here comes here.
And how they fell and remained. They after they made their decision, they're locked into it. Either relieved or not. And those that did not are called fallen angels. Those that did are called the elect angels. Okay. This is good. Three, to understand the mercy seat, one must first of all comprehend the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus 25:10-22, Exodus 35:1-19 declares the concept of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I'm going to talk about that. Point four. In summary, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark was a wooden box, 2.5 cubits. How long is a cubit? Cubit's about 45 inches. And by 1.5 high, 27 inches. And by 1.5 cubits wide, again, 27 inches. So that's the square of the box. The wood was acacia wood. Acacia wood is incredibly one of the best woods that supports both inside and outside. It was a box made out of acacia wood, and the box is overlaid with gold. Overlaid with gold. The gold represents the deity of Christ. And wood represents the humanity of Christ. So, we have a box called the Ark of the Covenant, constructed of wood and gold. Jesus Christ is God. He is sovereignty. He has absolute righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. But as God, he cannot go to the cross. Sovereignty cannot reduce itself to one point. Immutability cannot change its characteristics. Righteousness will have nothing to do with sin, except through justice to condemn it. There's no way that Christ as God can go to the cross. So, that is the gold of the ark. Now, let's go to the wood of the ark. That speaks of the fact that Christ wood became in the fullness of time. That's from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. True humanity in the fullness of time. Humanity as he did. And the wood represents the fact that Christ as a human body and as a human soul. And the soul had no sin nature. That is the virgin birth. He also was born with retained a human spirit. So Jesus Christ was trichotomous. Being, doing, being, doing the time of his incarnation as the same time he was impeccable. The Ark of the Covenant is portico of the hypostatic union and the impeccability of Jesus Christ. Three.
Herman?
Yes.
Isn't everybody in the Godhead trichotomous?
Do what?
Isn't everybody in the Godhead trichotomous?
I'll tell you the word problem, and I'll go ahead and tell you right up front. And I didn't want to have to admit this in front of my wife. I left my hearing aid. So what did she say?
Aren't all three members of the Godhead trichotomous?
No.
God as a whole is trichotomous. But there's three members. Only Christ is
trichotomous.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Only Christ. He's the only one who went to the cross.
Thank you, Herman.
Good. All right. Five. There are three verses of Scripture in the Bible that tells us the content of the Ark. The sacred chest representing to the Hebrews the presence of God among them. So here's when they saw this, it was the presence of God there. Numbers chapter 19, verse 8. Now, on the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Adding to that, verse 10. But the Lord said to Moses, verse 8, now on the next day, Moses went. Now in verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, so that you may put an end to their glimmerings and with against me, and they do will die. They do who do grumble will die. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10, over chapter 9, verse 8. Verse 9 says it very clearly. Having a golden altar of incense and the altar of the covenant covered on oversides, all oversides with gold, in which was golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now, those are the three places in the Bible. There are three things in the box, the table of Acheon, three things in this box made of rocky wood and overlaid with gold, so it would appear to be a golden box. First, gonna have all three. First, there was the table of the law. The table of the law spoke of sin as transgression of God's perfect standard. So the first thing, of sin. Secondly, there was Aaron's rod that budded, which speaks of sin in terms of reversionism or revolution against God. And finally, thirdly, there was the pot of manna, which speaks of sin in rejection of the provision of God. In other words, if you remember, they rejected God, so He gave them the manna each day, just enough for that day, and then it was over. So this was it. So all three articles inside the box pictures sin. They picture Christ bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. Any law? Anybody? Okay. Now, six. The content of the box therefore indicates the work of Christ on the cross. The contents of the box represents Christ's work on the cross. On the cross, Jesus Christ was bearing our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. So, when we talk about God hating or having His problem, it's not that He hates. Well, He does. He hates sin. And when you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, He's already taken care of the sin. But you now are no longer redeemed and no longer can be redeemed, and therefore you will lose a relationship with God for all eternity. When Christ went to the cross, the sins of the world were poured out upon Him. As it were, using a cup analogy, sometimes the cup is used in this connection to represent our sins. They are in one cup, as it were. Christ drank the cup. Bible says, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup, containing the sins of the world, pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Matthew 28:19. Now, this is where you do an intro discussion if you're talking to people and they want to come down and say, well, you can lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation. In other words, what they're saying is, excuse me, what they're saying is, on that cup, poured out on the side, fell down on the side, fell on it, was one of your sins. God didn't take it. No, God drank the whole cup. Everyone's sins were taken care of on the cross. When Christ went to the cross, the sins of the world were poured out upon Him. Now, point seven. Over the top of the ark was a mercy seat. Got the mercy of the Ark of the Covenant. Got the mercy seat. We have the box inside, which represents the content of sin. I told you the three elements of it. And then over the top, we have the throne, a mercy seat. Over the throne of the contents of the sin, over that is the mercy seat. With a cherub, a golden cherub, on each side of the cherub. This throne, our seat, was made of solid gold. There was a cherub on each side to represent the pertinent characteristics of the essence of God, His righteousness on the one cherub and justice on the other cherub. Any question? Point eight. On the Day of Atonement. Now I got to stay with me now. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest took the blood of an animal, sacrificed, and entered the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled this blood over the top of the golden throne. This was the blood of an animal. Now thinking about this, you got the blood of the animal, that's representing the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when the righteousness looks at that blood, righteousness is satisfied. God's righteousness, because the blood is representative analogy of the work of Christ bearing the sins of the world. Righteousness is satisfied and justice is satisfied. Because the animal sacrificed was without spot, without blemish. That's what Christ will be. Justice is satisfied because Jesus bore our sins on the body on the tree. And this is what is meant by the English by propitiation. Propitiation means satisfaction. Now look at point nine. The mercy seat represents the doctrine of propitiation or satisfaction. God the Father is propitiated with the work of the Son of God. So, because propitiation, God is free to take His perfect love and direct it toward everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Now look at point ten. Therefore, the doctrine of propitiation emphasizes the uniqueness of the glory of Jesus Christ. Point 11. The New Testament description of the Ark of the Mercy Seat is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 4 through 7. Propitiation is used, therefore, to manifest the true love of God. We now come to the propitiation in our passage. By work, by grace, you have been saved. In this statement, God found a way to love us. By grace, you were saved, which was perfect, passive, participle, meaning you have received salvation. You have received it. You have received being saved or delivered. The passive voice means that by faith in Christ, you receive the propitiation of eternal salvation. You receive for all eternity the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. By grace, you have been saved permanently and eternally. In a few lines, we will be at the famous verse, by grace you have been saved. So let's take a look at the study of the doctrine of grace. We'll start with that next week. Start with the doctrine of grace. We've got to finish dealing with our communion. Before we go into communion, how many of you know the Constitution of the United States? How many of you know who wrote it? Where did he get the idea? How many articles are there in the Constitution? What are they, these articles? Why Declaration of Independence and a Bill of Rights put into it? Who is under the rule of the Constitution? What are your rights and privileges in the Constitution? What are your responsibilities in the Constitution? Few Americans can answer those questions. I don't know if you can or not. But how many of you know the covenant that you have taken a dinner of? What is a covenant? What is it? Where is the new covenant found in the Bible? We'll be studying it in Hebrews. It's what brings us all up. Where is the new covenant found in the Bible? Who wrote the new covenant? Who was a new... why was there a new covenant? If we had a covenant, why was there a new covenant? What are the conditions of the new covenant? I don't know if you know those or not. You'll know them. Get through Hebrews. What are your responsibilities under the new covenant? So we have a lot to understand in regard to the covenant. And the covenant dealing with the Ark of the Covenant, which we take the large table in. Now, we'll go through each one of these in our... In fact, I'm going to be doing more on Communion Sunday with the communion. We need to understand it. We need to be able to think about it. Not just do it, but thinking about it. But today we will just take the communion in it. And we should know, everyone here knows, the two covenants, the two parts, the bread and the cup, what they represent for us. So let's take a prayer and then go through for the taking. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the covenant. How grateful we are for the new cup that we have. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we were given this in the church age. We're not left with a lot of things. In fact, we're left with no other but this one. So it is our responsibility to understand the covenant and to give in it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone has been served, and then we will take it together. Corinthians chapter 11, for I received from the Lord, this is Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, representing the cross, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, and we will take of it together. Please stand. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. Passover's over. It's now going into the church age. Saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For our closing prayer, we will sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross, hymn number 111. When I survey the wondrous cross. 111.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of
fact that we've got to eat, let's sanctify the food. Father, we thank you for the study of the Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the communion tonight, this morning. And now, Father, we pray that you sanctify the food that we're about to partake and our time together to glorification of Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.